You're listening to the Red Moon Radio Podcast, episode 24, with special guest Alex Penn of Vancouver's The Intelligence Service. Red Moon Radio is a regular podcast dedicated to garage, psychedelic, fuzz, and lo-fi, as well as good old-fashioned rock and roll from around the world. We bring you the best new music and interviews, introducing you to your new favorite band. The show is available on Podomatic and on Stitcher, as well as by subscription on Google Play and iTunes. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Red Moon Radio 1, on Facebook at facebook.com/redmoonradio. Get in touch with us by email at redmoonradio2015@gmail.com. And watch for us along with the other music junkies on the music website 53rdandthird.com. Links to the bands and extras are available in our show notes on the Podomatic and Stitcher pages, as well as on 53rdandthird.com. Come back often and add us to your favorites. Now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, Erin here. Welcome to the Red Moon Radio Podcast. If this is your first time checking out the show, thanks for tuning in. I hope you like what you hear. And to all you loyal listeners out there, thanks so much for tuning in too. Your emails and comments are much appreciated, and I hope you know that I do this show just for you. I always say that I'm really excited about the band that I'm about to present, and the reality is I am always excited. Among the many rewarding parts of doing this podcast is that I've had a chance to get to know some tremendous people along the way. And this week's episode is no exception. I'm really happy to have had the opportunity to talk to Alex, and I'm thrilled to be able to share some music from his band, The Intelligence Service, before the official release date of May 5th. Hopefully we can say you heard it here first, folks. As always, a quick reminder that previous episodes of the podcast are available for your listening pleasure on Podomatic, Stitcher, Google Play, and through iTunes. Also, don't forget to check out Red Moon Radio along with all the other music junkies and podcasts on 53rdandthird.com. New episodes are updated on the website with extra content. Okay, so now back to the matter at hand. Episode 24 of Red Moon Radio features a special guest, Alex Penn, the singer and one of the driving forces behind Vancouver's The Intelligence Service. Alex and I have been corresponding for months, waiting for the moment until the band's debut full-length album, Transgressors, was ready to go. And that moment has come. So, to begin the show, let's take a listen to one of the tracks from the album, the aptly named Speak With You. Here we go.
Speak with you. Speak with you.
As I mentioned off the top, this episode of the Red Moon Radio podcast features Alex Penn, who along with bandmates Heather Campbell, Sam Doust, and Tom Levitt, as well as previous member Dror Zur, who still gets a shout out on the album with the extended, final, and totally amazing track, Distraction, Here Comes Dror, form Vancouver, Canada's The Intelligence Service. As I noted, the band's debut LP, Transgressors, is on the cusp of release and will be available on May 5th on vinyl and digital download. A major source of pride, and rightfully so, is that the album was produced, recorded, and mixed by garage punk mastermind and legend Chris Woodhouse, who's worked with the likes of the OCs, Ty Segall, Fuzz, Sick Alps, and many more bands that I'm sure you'll be familiar with as fans of garage rock. And it shows, or rather you can hear it. Melding a DIY punk ethos with garage rock and new wave, featuring equal portions fuzz, synths and organ, reverb, throbbing bass lines, and primal drums, the album is a tour de force for the band. You're going to dig this band and this album for sure. I had the great pleasure of chatting with Alex about a million things a couple of weekends ago via Skype from Vancouver. We literally talked for an hour and a half, and we even found time to do the interview. Welcome to Alex Penn of the Intelligence Service. Welcome to Red Moon Radio. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So we've been talking since October. I was looking back. We've been talking about doing this very interview since October. Can you believe that?
No, that's a long time ago.
It is a long time. It feels like it's longer than that, but at the same time shorter than that.
Totally. I agree.
Tell me about the band. What are you about?
Well, there's four of us, myself, Alex Penn, Heather Campbell, who does our organs and keyboards and backing vocals, Sam Dow, who is our bass player and also backing vocals. And right now our current drummer is Tom Levitt from England. And prior to him, we had Dror Zur, who was from Ireland, and he was on the Maladies EP.
How would you describe your music?
It's hard to describe our music. It's like, you know, I would say, you know, if you have ADD in terms of your musical taste, whereas, you know, you like a lot of garage rock, you know, and you like psychedelic music, but you also like punk music, then you would probably like our new LP. We sort of move through a lot of different genres, but at the same time, it's stitched together with the same kind of rusty punk needle and using psychedelic thread.
I think, oh, I like that. That's good. You guys are based out of Vancouver.
Yes.
And you just mentioned you have a new album coming out.
Yeah, our new album is coming out May 5th. It's called Transgressors. And we're very elated to say this, but it was recorded, produced, and mixed by Chris Woodhouse, who's he's recorded and produced almost every VOC's record and has collaborated with John Dwyer on those, and also did Ty Segall's Manipulator and Slaughterhouse, as well as the first Fuzz record and Sick Alps and, you know, A-Frames and it's just like Kerry Bronstein's punk band Wild Flag, and tons and tons and tons of other like really wicked bands from LA and Southern California, the Bay Area. Yeah, he's brilliant.
So how did you hook up with him, I gotta ask?
When I started this band with Heather, we were just like, okay, we're gonna record an album. Who do we want to produce this? And I went through a list of all my favorite bands and all the records, and Chris Woodhouse pretty much did most of them, and so he was the number one on the list. And I had to, track him down, and, you know, he had a manager. We recorded a demo specifically to send to his manager, which ended up becoming the Maladies EP. You can ask me about that after. But sent it over to the manager, John Bacigalupi, who's a super great guy and super talented. He's the co-editor of Tape Op magazine. So he had to, like, get in touch with Chris. But Chris was recording, so, you know, he's like, okay, well, let me get back to you. Chris has to approve it. Like, he has to want to record you. So we waited for like 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden John got back and said, good news, Chris really loves your stuff, but, you know, just so you know, he only records on 8-track tape? And we're like, yeah, fine. That's weird. So anyways, when Chris records a band, he actually just shuts off everything from like any kind of, you know, his cell phone, email, nothing. You cannot reach him, which is great. Like when we were recording, you know, he was getting text messages from John Dwyer of the OCs, and he was like, oh, I got to shut that off, you know, like, so he really appreciated, you know, like when you're recording, right? So, yeah, well, we were elated, and then it was everything that I ever imagined. Like, it was even better. You know, we were all kind of tentative when we got there, especially me. It's like, what's it going to be like working with this guy? Is he going to be a jerk, or is he, you know, like, and, but he was fantastic. You know, I think he was tentative with us as well the first day. And then, you know, over the next 4 days or whatever, 3 days, we really bonded, became good friends. So.
Oh, that's amazing. Where did you record it?
We recorded in Sacramento, California at his recording studio, The Doc. He's just, really attentive to detail and like just knew exactly what I wanted. So I would, you know, say, you know, I really want this on this. And he would just like fill in the sentence. He would just like finish my sentence before. So he was already in my head before, you know, we even had to talk about what we wanted in terms of the sound. You know, so he was great. And we're going to go down and record another record with him. You know, he's like, anytime you want to come, just come back.
You're a music lover, I can tell.
I love, so are you.
I try to be.
Yeah, that's why I agreed to do this, is I know you have wicked taste in music.
Oh, thank you so much. I also think that you have wicked taste, so we complement each other well. So we also have another, like, mini connection. You grew up in Winnipeg.
I did, yeah. I was there from, geez, I don't know, I was grade two, I think we moved there from Toronto, and I was there, I basically grew up there. So, and then I moved out here to Vancouver when I was 22. So, yeah.
Like so many Winnipeggers.
Yeah. Well, you know, Winnipeg's a great city. Lots of culture, lots of music and visual art and contemporary dance and, you know, ballet. And I mean, in terms of the arts, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And Heather as well.
She grew up here. I think she was born in Ontario as well. And then grew up here in Vancouver and then moved briefly to Winnipeg for, I think, 5 years together with Blair Perda, who is Endearing Records. Together, they ended up running that company and owning it.
Really cool. I didn't realize that when we first started chatting and you mentioned it. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this world is so small.
Yeah.
I remember selling all these Endearing releases when I worked in record stores in Winnipeg, and like Endearing was a big deal, not just in Winnipeg. I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think one of their biggest acts was Julie Doran from Eric's Trip. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff that happened on Endearing Records because of Endearing Records. Like, I know that Black Mountain somehow got signed to Jag Jaguar because Blair and Heather kind of went, hey, take a look at this band or whatever, or something like that. I may be like making it bigger, but it would basically, it's a result of like Endearing Records.
We're going to like bring it back to Black Mountain through via Pink Mountaintops in a minute. Well, okay. So getting back to the issue at hand, which is this new album, May 5th is the release. It's called Transgressors. What does the album title mean?
Well, it's a cool name for one, but also, you know, rock and roll, although it's been now sort of commodified and, it, you know, it's just watered down sort of thing. Rock and roll to me is still about, and garage rock and punk rock and, you know, and even psychedelic rock. Those are all about breaking down boundaries, there's a line you want to break through it. You want to explore, you want to transgress any kind of authority or any kind of rule. And it's kind of also ironic because our name is the Intelligence Service, which is like CSIS or, you know, those kind of things. But our name is also a double entendre. Like, you know, we offer the intelligence, you know, we offer intelligence. So our wisdom, or, you know, however you want to look at it. But so for me, like Transgressors is like encapsulates or sort of like puts a name to what it is that we're doing with rock and roll, or rock and roll does in general. And so we're trying to contribute to that effort of like breaking down boundaries and exploring new territory.
Cool. I like that. That's a great answer.
Yeah, thank you.
So May 5th it comes out. You're putting it out on vinyl, and then also it's available digitally, and or it will be available digitally.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be on. So we have a limited edition of 500 copies of the vinyl, and then it'll also be out May 5th on iTunes and like Apple Music and like all the different Spotify and all the streaming services and basically anything digital. It'll be available everywhere.
You're doing a crazy show to release this too.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather and I, we put on a show, I can't remember now, it was like last year in November, October, called Cosmic Garage. And it's basically all psychedelic and garage rock bands. And we have like psychedelic visuals, and it's an all over kind of experience. So for this event, it's the same thing. We have three wicked, like amazing bands in my favorite bands. Dopey's Robe and our band, and also The Magic Circle. And so there's those three bands. And then Josh Ryan from Austin, who's sort of living here right now, is doing the crazy psychedelic visuals. And Zach Herbert is going to be doing a DJing before the bands go on and in between, along with Jeff Knowlton, who owns Dandelion Records here, who's like a ridiculous encyclopedia of garage and psychedelic music, like from all over the world. But
I'm so jealous of not being in Vancouver, I have to say.
You can come, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a really fantastic show.
Yeah. If I could be down there, I would be there in a heartbeat. I love Dopey's Robe.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're fantastic. They are. And you would be completely smitten by The Magic Circle. They are, like, in my opinion, the best band in Vancouver right now.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That is a strong statement. I am going to take your word for it. And, and after this, I'm going to be looking for them.
Yeah, they're, I mean, I don't know, they've been self-recording for a while, and I think they're just bogged down on all the crazy stuff that they want to do, so hopefully they get that out right away, because it's like, you guys, like, I know you want to have this amazing thing, but just put something out, because they're fantastic. I keep telling everybody, but they're brilliant. They're actually going to be doing a short little tour here in, I believe, in May. And then they're going on a Canada-wide tour, I think, in the summer. So I'll let you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So that's on April 22nd or 7th, sorry, at the Cobalt.
Yeah. April 27th. Yeah.
So the lucky fans in Vancouver get a sneak peek.
Yes.
Which is exciting. The four songs that were on your Maladies EP have been re-recorded for this album.
Yeah. So initially we recorded what ended up becoming the Maladies EP just as a demo to send to Chris. And then somehow I ended up sending it to Burger Records, you know, just to say, hey, look, we're here. This is what we're doing. And Sean, from like the owner of Burger, he loved it. And he was like, well, hey, like release it on cassette on our sister label. So that's what we did. And somehow like that got around everywhere. We kind of wanted to keep it on the down low because we knew we'd be putting these on the actual record.
Right.
It got a lot of traction in Scotland and Ireland and in the UK and Belgium. Played on CBC Music Radio across Canada, like Driving to My Son was on rotation. KEXP was playing a bunch of stuff, and it was on a Music Matters podcast. It was just like, what? You know, but it was great. I mean, it was welcomed, you know. Yeah, we tried to not promote it, you know, or show too many people, because we knew that some of those songs were going to be on the new record. So, but they're all have been re-recorded, like they're all recorded live and produced, mixed, and recorded by, you know, Chris. So they have a completely different sort of feeling and everything.
There's a whole bunch of new songs as well.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
What's the story? Like, how did you come together to make this band?
It started, well, first of all, my background is not in music. Like, I love music. I've always listened to everything that I could find, you know, cutting edge, all that kind of stuff. But my background really was visual arts. So did that for a while. I met Heather, and then we started going to concerts together. I went to this Wooden Ships concert. But I mean, their Wooden Ships are one of my favorite bands. And we were like, why don't we do this? Like, let's just start a band. Let's just do it. And so we did. I picked up the guitar and, you know, like started learning how to play it. And, and as I was learning how to play it, I started writing songs, because learning to play is pretty boring. But if you can incorporate that into like creating something, that then it becomes exciting. And so that's where the intelligence service started. And then, you know, I initially just wanted to be like a drum machine and her and I, because it's like, we get along, we have very similar musical tastes. And so I thought, well, I'll bring in another person, other people, you know, it's going to be very difficult to manage, but you know, bring a drum machine, you know, then you could be like Moon Duo or, you know, Fantagram or like Suicide or, you know, you know, the Pack AD. But, you know, Heather was like very adamant of like, we should have a drummer. So it's like, okay. So we ended up getting Drawer, who was here from Ireland, and his work visa ran out after 2 years. That's why he's still not in the band, but he was, you know, it was great. It was really great to work on new stuff and actually to develop our sound together. And, but it came together really fast. Like it was ridiculously fast, but you know, I mean, in the true punk ethos, it was like, or like Velvet Underground, you know, it's like, you know, learn 2-3 chords and that's it. Like, you know, and just start making music.
It's amazing how many bands that I talk to that really that's exactly what ends up happening. But yet you would never know because the sounds are so diverse. Like you can do so much with so little.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you sort of work with what you've got, right? And so in a DIY fashion, you work with what you've got. But on the other hand, too, it's like, you know, it helps that Heather and I both had a very similar grounding in terms of the sonic references, you know, and although we diverge on certain things, we still have, you know, certain sounds and approaches in common. And so whenever, like, you know, I would write a chord progression or like, you know, come up with some kind of cool thing. And like, you know, she was there, she knew. I'd be like, you know, this kind of, you know, like Velvet Underground thing. Like, oh yeah. You know, she was with it. She knew. And she's very tasteful when she comes to playing the synths and the organ. But you know, I mean, she's a veteran. Like she's been playing in bands forever. She's and classically trained. She was like, you know, trained with like, having to like balance a quarter on her knuckles or whatever as she played the piano, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
She's spent her whole lifetime trying to like get rid of, right? So
it's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
So you mentioned actually and kind of tangentially mentioned some of the bands that you chose to play on the show, as well as just, you know, clearly being a huge fan of music in general. So What are your biggest musical influences, and if those overlap with what you've chosen for the show, feel free to start discussing them.
Well, the one thing I would say, I mean, yeah, I am definitely a huge music lover, and so is Heather. Obviously, she's spent her whole life devoted to it, as are, you know, Tom and Sam. But I would say that the one band that ties us all together in terms of an approach and a sound and a, you know, overall vibe is the Velvet Underground. There's no getting around it. They are incredible. But for me, like, you know, again, I have like kind of ADD when it comes to music. There's certain, I'm not going to say which bands, but if you listen to them, it's like, okay, that's a great sound. You know, like you have the first, and you can dig like the first three tracks and then it's like, okay, that's enough. Like that, it's like every song is the same after that. They went for a very niche sound,
right?
And for me, that doesn't, like, it's great. It's, you know, great for a certain kind of thing, like you're having a party, you put it in the background, and it's just playing. You know, it's just. But in terms of the music that really gets me going, it's like there's diversity. And so when you put on a Velvet Underground record, you have, you know, country influence, or you have like this whacked out, you know, weird like story being a monologue going on with these weird music things. And you know, so there was like a really playful, experimental, and artistic sort of approach to the lyrics, but also the music, and just exploring rock and roll and what rock and roll, and in some cases pop, or you know, and bringing in different, you know, influences from different genres. So the Velvet Underground is really fantastic for that. And like I said, like when you listen, we've been compared to the Velvet Underground. I mean, I, when you listen to it, it's, I don't see it right away, but I would agree in terms of, we don't have like one sound that just goes through the whole thing. There's like, you know, you have like a shoegaze song, like, you know, Driving to My Son. And then, you know, you go into like this weird, I don't know what song, like School Me, which is kind of punk and new wave. And, you know, it's just a weird song but it still has like this moving kind of drive. It's got a little Devo to it or
yeah,
something.
Totally.
And then, you know, Can't Believe is like a punk song. And, you know, like, so there's like a lot of different things, but they work together. They do move and work together. And so, and they do have, in terms of a sound or like an identity, it's us. There's no other band that would be doing these songs. So I'm really proud or happy about that. But that's what I would say in terms of the Velvet Underground.
And you picked a Velvet Underground song, in fact.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's Sister Ray, which is like, it's, you know, and that song is their monster. I mean, there's so many different iterations of that song. And the one I picked is 40 minutes long, which, you know, obviously is too long for your show, but every version has got its own flavor. And I the way I look at that, and the same thing with a song, like the perfect record is not like the same sound all the way through, but rather moves you, like, or, you know, and it reflects like, hey, you know, I'm an individual. I have happy times, sad times, you know, tragic times, bored times, you know, like whatever. Yeah, it's an individual. There's a personality to it. An album should have a personality to it that isn't just flatlined, you know? And Sister Ray, as a song, in their short career as the Velvet Underground, there's so many different versions that have so many different personalities, and some of them, you know, schizophrenic or multiple personalities within the same song. You know, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've influenced, like, all of my favorite bands. Like, all the best bands have been influenced by the Velvet Underground. There's a lot of stuff to dive into when you look into the Velvet Underground and their history and like what they were doing and what was going on in the scene with Andy Warhol and all that kind of stuff. So it's like really rich, you know, but they were a failure, right? They were a failure.
Right. Yeah. That's what's so incredible.
Yeah.
And Sally inside, searching for the downfall. Who's staring at Miss Rayon? Who's licking up her pig pen? I saved it for my main line. I couldn't hit it sideways. I couldn't hit it sideways. Just like Sister Ray says, suck to me. Who's back from Alabama? dressed in pink and leather. He didn't have the time, sucking on his ding dong, sucking on his ding dong, just like Sister Ray said. I'm searching for my main line. I couldn't hit it sideways. I couldn't hit it sideways. Just like Sister Ray says, suck it to me. Shoots it between 3 and 4. He aims it at the sailor. He falls down, shot him on the floor. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You're gonna make me split it. Can you get him off the carpet? Hey, have you got a dollar? No, he hasn't got the time. Busy sucking on his ding dong. He's busy sucking on his ding dong. Just like Sister Ray said, I'm searching for my meaner. I couldn't hit it sideways. Oh, I couldn't hit it sideways. Just like Sister Ray said, hit it, Timmy! Sucks them. is Ray on. They're waiting for her booster. Dressed in pink and leather. Bound to make a sailor. Who hasn't got the time. Sucking on her ding-dong. Sucking on her ding-dong. Just like Sister Ray said. Hey, I'm searching for my main line. I couldn't hit it sideways. Couldn't hit it sideways. Just like Sister Ray said, suck to me. We'll be right back.
All right, so you've got some more stuff as well that you've chosen. Jesus and Mary Chain.
Yeah, also probably, like, I would say, like, if I had to live in a bunker on a desert island or something, I had to pick three bands, it would be The Velvet Underground, Jesus and Mary Chain, and The OCs. So, you know, those are on there. And Jesus and Mary Chain are just phenomenal. They're incredible songwriters. And now they're having a resurgence, but I've loved them my whole entire life. You know, ever since high school, when this girl who was super cool introduced me to them, I've been into them. Like, she gave me this, I think it was Barbed Wire Kisses, and I was like, what the hell is this? You know, but and at that time, I really loved, like, the Beach Boys, and which is, you know, kind of nerdy, but I still have a huge thing for the Beach Boys, but the way that they merge together, this, like, sonic, you know, assault of distortion and fuzz, but married together, like, the harmonies of, like, the Beach Boys, and, you know, it was just an amazing thing that they did. But also they had, like, crazy songs like Never Understand, or there's other ones too that, like, Suck, which is kind of an influence on one of the songs that we have, Bilge. Yeah, they're just fantastic songwriters. They're, you know, fantastic.
Mentioned Black Mountain and the Pink Mountain Tops.
Yeah, Pink Mountain Tops. Like, I like Black Mountain a lot. Pink Mountain Tops to me are still my favorite. Like, and it's because they have that more melodic and thing that ties back to the 60s a little bit more. Steve McBean is, like, a brilliant songwriter, and I've shook hands with him once before, but I hope that, you know, one day in the future, like, maybe we can work together on something. He's one of the best songwriters, in my opinion, in Vancouver, for sure, but maybe like anywhere. Yeah.
Wooden Ships, you mentioned them earlier too.
Yeah.
And you chose something from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wooden Ships, same thing. I mean, they, what's interesting about them is that they have that same punk attitude. Like, so I remember reading an article that Ripley Johnson put out an ad, like when he was in his 40s or something like that, you know, to start a band, and he didn't have to have any experience playing the instruments. I was like, fuck, that's really cool. But before I knew that, I mean, I came across them like when they were first starting, it was like all the underground stuff. And I was like, what is this? You know? And it has that Sister Ray sort of really long, but driving bass line and drums. And over top of it is this like fuzz guitar and like almost inaudible lyrics, you know? And so, especially the early stuff, they've become more polished as of late, but you know, they recorded themselves on a Tascam recorder on tape and like learned how to do it all themselves. And yeah, in the early days. And I really have a lot of respect for that. I mean, they've become, you know, pretty well known in the scene, but yeah, I just love them, you know, Moon Duo as well. But for me, more so the Wooden Ship stuff. It's a little bit rawer, and I really like the raw stuff more than the overproduced kind of thing. So.
Let me wrap my limbs around your walls.
It's the same thing with like Black Lips, the early records, they're like blown out. The production's like, you know, not the greatest, but the energy is there. And like, that's what you get when you go see them live, right?
It is. I was just going to say that's their live show.
Yeah. So, and that's why I chose Chris. Like, so when you listen to the OC's records, there's always that energy that's there when you go see a live show, you know, like there are some flubs here and there or whatever, maybe if you're like really listening, you know, like, but the energy is there. It's captured on the records, and that's throughout all of the OC's records. And so for me, that was like super important, super vital. And I think that worked, but yeah. So that like the OC's are like I'm obsessed with them. You know, I'm obsessed with John Dwyer, you know, his rig, like what pedals he's using, how he's using his, you know, Space Echo, like all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, what guitar, yeah, he's just brilliant. Like he's.
Of all the bands to be obsessed with, that's one of the best ones because they've been so prolific.
Yeah.
That you've always got something new to grab onto.
Yeah. And so there's that thing too, right? Like, so they're always pushing, like every record is moving in another direction. It's always the OCs. It's always got that the OCs sound, but moving forward or whatever, and like, you know, sideways or yeah, it's great. You know, they keep you on your toes, and like, there's not one live band that can, like, they just devastate and possess everybody.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. I went to Seattle a number of years back, and there was someone who's like a massive music nerd, and you know, they had seen the OCs a number of times. I was like, come on, let's go see, they're playing tonight. They're like, I don't know, you know, I've seen them so many times. I'm like, come on, it's gonna be awesome, let's go. And you know, she agreed, and her friend was the same way too, like massive like music nerd. And they came out, and sure enough, as soon as they went on stage, they were like into it. They were like, holy fuck, this is the best DLCs. This is the best concert I've seen in so long. You know, they're like, it was an all ages show at the Neptune, and it was incredible. You had like, people were just losing their shit. They were just going crazy. And like every other concert I've seen them play, it's always been the same way. I saw them at Austin Levitation in the summer a couple years ago, and they were phenomenal.
We'll be right back.
and you also picked Gogs.
Yeah, Gogs. Well, it was really hard because, you know, I could have picked, there's so many, there's just too much, you know. And so, but Gogs, I really love their record that they put out last year. And of course, it's, you know, Ty Segall and Chris Shaw from X-Cults and Charlie Muthart.
I love Charlie. I have to say, like, the Muthart's and all of the stuff that he did earlier on, I mean, it's like straight ahead garage fun.
Yeah. No, they're three super, super, super talented musicians. And that record is just raw and in your face. And it's got weird sounds that, you know, pull you somewhere else. And it's just a great record. And so that for me, like, that's the, I want to throw in something that's more on the punk lines because I do listen to a lot of punk. Yeah. So anyways, that's that one. But I also have to say that probably one of the other like best records that came out last year, in my opinion, was Fields, which was also recorded by Ty Segall. They're out of LA and were put out by Castleface, but not a lot of people know of them, but it's really a fantastic record.
We can talk about Alex. I feel like we could go on forever, but we shouldn't. So we're gonna cut it off. We're gonna postpone more discussion for later. We can devote a whole podcast to politics, which is what we were talking about before the interview started, and like our dissection of the world as it currently stands. We could do one in Spanish.
Yeah, we can do that.
And I think we have like several more music conversations in our future.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, we're going to be going down to record another record with Chris Woodhouse, and I don't see, you know, stopping making more and more stuff. So
good.
We're working on, like, doing a tour and all that kind of stuff as well.
Well, I look forward to that very much. Now, before I let you leave, I need you to tell people how they can find you online and in the various places, the nooks and crannies of the interwebs.
Yeah, well, we're on, you know, all the different social media. So we're on SoundCloud, The Intelligence Service, Facebook, The Intelligence Service, on Twitter, also The Intelligence Service. Also the best way is like Bandcamp, where you can listen to all our stuff. And our new record is up for pre-order, digital pre-order. And also, I think it's all there. We're everywhere. Just look for us, put The Intelligence Service Band or Vancouver or Transgressors, and it should come up, or Maladies. And there's like lots of reviews and whatnot.
I'll make sure that all the links go up with the podcast as well so that people can find you easily.
Well, thank you.
Well, this has been super fun, a long time in the making, exciting, and like I said, the conversation has only just begun.
Yeah. Yeah, we could talk for hours.
We could. I thank you so much. For taking time to join me today on the podcast, and we will talk again soon.
That's great. Thanks so much, Aaron.
Many, many thanks to Alex Penn of the Intelligence Service for sitting down with me to chat, share his love of music, and some of the cuts off the new album with us. As you know by now, I love learning what bands listen to and where their influences lay. Alex is an encyclopedia of musical knowledge, and it was a thrill to follow him down many musical paths during the interview. He shared several cuts with us, including his immense love for the Velvet Underground and their epic song, Sister Ray. Although we didn't hear the version he referred to in the podcast, simply out of time constraints, we did hear the album version from White Light, White Heat. Also in the set, The Jesus and Mary Chain with Never Understand, Vancouver's The Pink Mountaintops with Sweet 69, Wooden Ships, Motorbike, The OC's The Dream, and GOG's She Got Harder. For more information on all that you hear tonight, go to the Podomatic page to see a full listing of the songs and albums, as well as for links to the Intelligence Services Bandcamp and social media pages. Now let's continue with some more music from the Intelligence Service. As we discussed in the interview, all of the songs on Transgressors were recorded with Chris Woodhouse, including tracks that were previously released on the band's Melodies EP. Here are a couple of those re-recorded tracks, including the opening track of the new LP, Driving to My Son, and Can't Believe. We'll also slow it down a bit with a new song, Broken Raft, Bobby Says.
Yeah.
As is always the case, this episode of the podcast has gone by too fast. It was such a treat to talk to Alex of the Intelligence Service, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. To end this week, let's hear another of the new songs from the LP, Call the Doctor. Thanks again so much to Alex for chatting and sharing music with us, and many thanks to you for listening. Until next time.